The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Time out, Aaron.
Yeah?
I don't have a cynical bone in my body.
Okay.
But are you seriously trying to tell me that the 7,000th home run in Mariners history is a milestone?
Yeah. You don't think so? Dory, we give the Mariners a lot of, criticism when they're playing bad. You got to give them some love when they're playing well, too, right?
Right. I just didn't know that the 7,000th home run in team history was something that was to be celebrated.
Yeah, why not? That's a big deal.
Where were you when number 6,000 was hit?
I don't even know. Who knows?
I love the stats they dig up.
But now we know that Shed Long Jr. hit 7,000.
Right. And, I just hope that I have grandkids when number 8,000 is hit.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron. Thank you. What a gorgeous day it is. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to the big show. And, I'm excited because, as you know, I am a man of great passions. And I always need to have something in front of me to strive for. I need to have that carrot on the end of the stick. I need to know what's coming up next in life. And when you find that thing, I just get so excited. I get tingly everywhere. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
So, a listener, his name is Matthew, he contacted me and he said, Dory, check out governmentjobs.com, DNRP, and I didn't know what DNRP was even, but it's a King County Division of Natural Resources and Parks, and they're hiring a new position for the Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Manager. It pays between $110,000 and $140,000 a year. Then they have another job posting for Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Manager 2. And that pays between $110,000 and $140,000. Now, as Matthew points out, the King County Department of Public Defense is hiring a public defense attorney. The pay is between $70,000 and $109,000. So in King County, social justice pays $40,000 more than actual justice, which is a great observation by Matthew. But imagine my excitement. Imagine how tingly that I got as I started looking at King County Careers webpage. And indeed, here it is right in front of me. They are hiring an equity, inclusion, and belonging manager. Now, I've heard a lot about equity and inclusion, but I didn't even know that belonging was a job title. And I didn't, so I got out my woke word dice, and there it was, belonging. So it says, what the job does. The director's office in the solid waste division. So this is a solid waste job. In more ways than one. The director's office in the Solid Waste Division is seeking an equity, inclusion, and belonging manager to serve on the senior leadership team. You will have the opportunity to lead the division towards realizing its vision statement. And then they put the vision statement in italics. Here's their vision statement. The Solid Waste Division respects and provides equitable services and opportunities for all. Now, I think they could have done that a little catchier. Just say, the Solid Waste Division gives an S about everybody. But no, they say the Solid Waste Division respects and provides equitable services and opportunities for all. And they say that they're progressing in all of their social justice causes. And then they're hiring two of these people. The Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Manager 2 will work in the Water and Land Resources Division of Natural Resources and Parks in King County. So they also are hiring for the same position. Now, I was thinking, because I'm always thinking about the taxpayers, I'm always thinking maybe one person could be the equity, inclusion, and belonging manager for both the King County Water and Land Resources Division and the King County Solid Waste Division. But no, it is a job that requires the full-time attention for solid waste and for, let me click the tab, Water and Land Resources. So I got back to, you know, I know what equity is. I know what inclusion is because I'm all about all of these things. But then belonging. I was a little confused because I had never seen that in a job title. But I thought, who better to apply for a job like that than me? Because, Nicole, is it fair to say, do you feel like you belong with this radio show?
Absolutely. I belong here.
Yes, I belong. That's what I want everybody to say in Solid Waste. Andrew, do you feel like you belong on this radio show?
For the 1 hour I'm here, I suppose, but it would be more helpful if I was here for more than that.
I would love that too. Do you know why? Because you only belong to this show for 1 hour. And if I was in charge, I would have you belong to all 3 hours of this show.
You don't want Sean to belong. Sean would still belong too. We'd have both of you.
Well, no, Sean will belong. I want everybody to belong.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would Sean? Would we both board up the show at the same time?
Well, no. We would take advantage of each of your individual talents, and we would expand your job to add more content to the show. Okay. Because I want everybody to belong. This is so exciting for me. So even if I don't get the King County jobs, I'm changing my title. Because when people ask me what I do now, I usually say I'm a talk show host. But no, from now on, I am the Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Manager for the Dory Monson Show. And not only that, gang, but I'm happy to say, because as you know, I'm obsessed with the great David Gates and bread. And I thought I knew their whole catalog. But then I found the song that is going to be my title when I'm in Solid Waste.
I wanted love so very bad.
See, this is what I'm like in the workplace. I just want love. I want to give love. I want to receive love. I want to share love. I want to create love. I want people to belong. We're all going to belong. I want us to belong in Solid Waste. I want us to belong in Natural Resources and Parks. Okay, bring it up here. I think we're getting to the belonging part.
When you woke and touched my face, I knew that I belong.
Yes, that's what I'm going to do.
Belonging to someone.
When I'm the manager of Solid Waste, I'm going to touch everybody's face. Because according to David Gates and Brad, that's how you know you belong. So anyway, this whole thing's just horribly, horribly exciting to me. And I've always dreamed of, at some point in my life, getting into Solid Waste. So I'm going to be a belonging manager when I'm done with this talk show. And for Dow Constantine, who's the head of King County, if you're listening right now, and I've heard you're obsessed with my show, if you're listening right now, can you just, I know you're supposed to have it open until filled, or can you just give me the job? But I'm not ready to start yet. I got a few more years left on the talk show, and then when I'm done with the talk show, then I'll join you in Solid Waste. Okay. And then we'll belong. We'll all belong. Belong is a funny word, isn't it? Until you say the word belong a lot, you don't even think about it. But belong and belonging really is a funny word. Oh, man, that's exciting. All right. All right, I'll keep you posted as my application wends its way through the bureaucracy of King County. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
What I have said is the radical left accuses everybody else of being what they are. And I'll give you a couple of examples here locally. We've told you about this Pride event. It's called Take Black Pride. And they are going to charge, they wanted to charge, now they're starting to walk it back. But they wanted to charge white people reparations fee, they called it. So if a white person wanted to go to this event, you'd have to pay between $10 and $50. And it's sponsored by the Trans Women of Color Solidarity Network. Now, you see, if I was their belonging manager, I'd say, let's not charge anybody. If they want to come, let's say that everybody belongs. But the Take Black Pride event wanted to charge people. Now, it turns out that that's racist. You can't charge people because of the color of their skin. That's just absolutely illegal. But it's the radical left that is the most racist. Not the mainstream left. Not all Democrats. The radical left is the most racist. And them trying to charge people for an event is just that. It is pure and simple racist. They said in the flyer for the event, Black, trans, and queer peoples are among the most marginalized and persecuted within the LGBTIA2S+ community. They often face shame, not only from cis heteronormative community, but within the queer community at large as well. So in making this event free for the Black queer community, the organizers of this event are extending a courtesy so rarely extended by providing a free and safe space. We would like to recommend, if possible, that you educate yourself on the harm it may cause Seattle's BIPOC in your pursuit of a free ticket to an event that is not expressly meant for you. And so that's why they said, if you're white, this event is not for you, and we're going to charge you a reparations fee if you try to come and celebrate with us. So it is the radical left that is the most racist among us. I'll give you another example from this radio show, in fact. Yesterday, we told a little story about an NFL player, defensive lineman, who is the first active NFL player to announce that he is gay. And I played his statement. And then I said something very nice about him and this announcement on the show yesterday. And I'm going to do a compare and contrast here. I don't think it created any shockwaves. I just don't know that anybody cares. I certainly don't care. You know, good for him. And Trevor Project, it's a great organization that works to prevent youth suicide. So that's a cool gesture. But you just think about it. Remember when Ellen DeGeneres had to pretend she was straight, and then on her sitcom, she finally announced that she was gay? It was written into the script, and it was, oh, man, it was all America talked about the next day. And now it's just, you know, it's not a big deal. So in that regard, we've certainly come a long, long ways in that level of acceptance. Okay, so those were my comments yesterday on the show. I just wanted to be sincere about how cool it is that we've come that far. And I've told you that my longest business relationship, my agent is a gay man. We've been business partners for more than 20 years. And so I wanted to just say something nice. And that Trevor Project, which works on suicide prevention with gay and lesbian kids, great, great cause, because the suicide rate is so high. So anyway, so I hear this NFL player make an announcement, And I just think about the positive thing he's doing with the Trevor Project, how far we've come as a society. And, you know, everybody wants to, you know, tries to accuse me of all the isms. And it's never true. So compare and contrast. So what does the left do with that announcement that an active NFL player is gay? Well, on The View, maybe the farthest left of their hosts, Joy Behar, here's how she handled it. And compare and contrast it to how we handled it on this radio show yesterday.
Anna, after they said penetration in the end zone, they lost me. So, Sonny, is this a sign that this... Sonny.
So she tries a crude joke. It's not even funny. And here's what's telling. They're in a five-box screen, the four far-left liberal hosts, and then Meghan McCain. The four on the left laughed at what Joy Behar said. A crude, homophobic joke that it wasn't even remotely funny. Meghan McCain, the one conservative on the panel, she looked disgusted with what Joy Behar said. And again, it's the radical left. When they accuse everybody else of racism, being a homophobe, being a transphobe, all of that, they generally are the biggest transgressors. And the people they accuse are not. And then listen, Joy Behar, she didn't even apologize. But I think a lot of people said, wow, that was really inappropriate. So here's how she ends the segment.
I just long for the days when you can just be gay in the world. And it doesn't become a big deal. By the way, that inappropriate joke I made for daytime television, scratch it. Make believe I never said it. We'll be right back.
No apology. No, it was wrong. No, it wasn't funny. Just scratch it. You think she'd let somebody on the other side scratch it if they said something equally vile and disgusting and degrading? But the people who scream the loudest about racism, transphobe, homophobe, they are usually just transposing their own hate into their words. And then they accuse others of being what they actually are. I think that little compare and contrast is more proof of that. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I'm going to check the news for you. And then we told you yesterday about a homeless man who murdered another in City Hall Park. That homeless man had just been released from jail on two other violent counts. But a group called a bail project got him out so he could kill. Well, we're going to talk to a man whose brother has been bailed out by that project. And he says this group is so misguided. It's a fascinating story. You're going to hear it next here on the Dory Monson Show. This week, we told you about an absolutely horrible story in downtown Seattle. It involved a guy named Michael Sadejo. Now, Michael Sadejo is a homeless guy. He's been at City Hall Park for as long as many people can remember. And he's a pretty violent criminal. A couple of months ago, he was charged with fourth-degree assault and second-degree robbery. And prosecutors recognized that he was a dangerous, dangerous man who shouldn't be free because of his litany of crimes. But a judge set bail at just $5,000. And then a group called the Northwest Community Bail Fund. This is a group that wants to get as many criminals out on the street as quickly as possible. They posted the bail for Michael Sadejo. So fast forward to less than a week ago. He got in a fight at City Hall Park. He had a box cutter, and he stabbed another homeless man multiple times, reportedly at one point, as he was plunging the knife into the guy's chest. He said, "Don't make any noise. You're going to die anyway." After we told this story on the air, I heard from listener Zach in Monroe, who told a story about his family and this Northwest Community Bail Fund. And I wanted you to hear Zach's story. So Zach joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Zach, good to talk to you today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, good to talk to you, too.
Okay, so you heard the story about this murder in downtown Seattle. And how did this story connect with you and your family?
Well, it made me upset about him again. My story is my brother is an alcoholic and heroin addict. And in Washington, we do not have involuntary treatment. And right. if we do, it is very difficult to get.
Yes.
So we consider jail time involuntary treatment. It's the only time that he's going to have time to sober up, get a clear head. And when he has a clear head, he makes good decisions and he starts making strides towards recovery.
Okay.
So he was put in jail. I can't remember the reason why. And all of his family, all of his friends, we all know this is a good place for him. He needs to stay there, get sobered up. It was an opportunity. Then a day later, we find out he was bailed out by Northwest Community Bail Fund. So he was nominated by his defense attorney, and he's just doing his job to defend, you know, his client.
Right.
But I called the Northwest Community Bail Fund, and I asked them, who is it that is overseeing, you know, who gets bail? And they didn't have any good answer for me. She just said he was nominated by his defense attorney. So I told the receptionist that, you know, well, this my brother is not one of those people that needs to be bailed out. We were excited that he was locked up because he's able to sober up and,
right.
you know,
right.
potentially get help. So she sympathized with me and she said she's got a, you know, a family member in the same situation. And I asked her if there was any way we could not let this happen again. And this is the big deal of, you know, if you have a family member that gets locked up and you're excited about them being locked up because they're going to sober up, mm-hmm. you need to call the Northwest Bail Fund and tell them, do not bail this person out.
Right.
She put my brother's name on a list and they will not bail him out again, I'm told.
Okay.
But we had no idea they existed until after it was too late. You know, it was an opportunity missed for him
Absolutely. And in the case of this homeless guy who's now accused of murder, presumably if he's been living on the streets of downtown Seattle for a long, long time, he probably doesn't have any family that he stays in touch with.
And they all know better than to bail him out.
Or that, yeah. But after your brother got bailed out, were you in contact with him? I know how hard this is on families. I know people who have loved ones who have fallen prey to heroin, and I know the horrible, horrible roller coaster ride that it creates for families. What happened with your brother after he got out? How long ago did this happen?
This was less than a year ago, I think.
Okay.
Details are you know, foggy. But, you know, he got out and it was basically life back the way it, you know, back as usual. You know, he was probably high the day after he got out.
Sure.
Back on the streets. You know, it's been like a 10-year story, you know, the in and out of jail, mostly in and out of the hospital because he overdoes it and finds himself, you know, needing. And the hospital is great because they go in, they'll lock him up and keep him locked up until he's healthy again. So,
and I know what this does to family. I mean, I do have friends who've gone through this with kids and others. And I know what it does because when you take in a heroin addict, it's just hell. I mean, because they'll lie, they'll steal, they'll rip your family apart, and then you're always afraid. But if we kick them out, they're going to OD, and we're going to get a call that they're dead. And it is a horrible, horrible drug, and it's a horrible experience for families to go through.
Yeah, we're always worried about him when if he's in jail or he's in the hospital locked up. We're not worried about him. We sleep easy.
Yeah.
But the rest of the time, if he's free, we're worried about him and we're wondering when we're going to get that call.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, Northwest Community Bail Fund just bailing him out without, as far as I know, the only information they had was from his defense attorney saying, I'd like this, you know, my client bailed out. Can you guys afford it? And, you know, there was, the whole family was thrown, the his social worker was thrown by it. You know, nobody knew why he was bailed out. He just, he was just freed.
Yeah, so. it's a shame. I mean, these groups that are fighting for things like this. There's the Minnesota Bail Fund that was getting child molesters out, getting murderers out of jail. It's crazy that we have people who are working so feverishly to get criminals back on the street, or in the case of your brother, a drug addict who's just going to have to commit crimes and steal to continue his habit. Do you have any idea how your brother's doing today, Zach?
He's okay. He actually just got released from involuntary treatment at a hospital. So as far as I know, right now, he's healthy. And that's comforting. Yeah. But, you know, the road to recovery, I don't know, you know, what it's going to take. But, you know, it just... Yeah,
that's a very difficult road. Well,
yeah.
I'll say a prayer for your brother and his the challenge that's ahead for him and for your family, and I appreciate hearing from another perspective on this Northwest Community Bail Fund, because this organization, I don't even think they're well intentioned. I just think that they're flat out wrong in what they
whatever you think of them, they're there. And my message is if you have a loved one that is locked up and you are excited about them being locked up because that is an opportunity for them to sober up or whatever the case might be, call the Northwest Community Bail Fund first and tell them, this is my family member that's locked up. If he's nominated for bail, do not bail. That's my
message. It's a great message to get out there. All right, Zach, well, all my best to you, your brother, your family. I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thank you.
Okay. Zachary Monroe, whose family was affected by this Northwest Community Bail Fund, and now, according to court papers, a man is dead because of them bailing him out just a couple of weeks ago. All right, love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come on The Dory Monson Show. It's really weird what's happening in our schools right now. Some of the best people that I know are teachers. And my girls were blessed with some really impactful teachers. I had a teacher who changed my life. Earl Kelly at Ballard High School changed my life. And so I love great teachers. But we've had so many stories lately about horrible, horrible teachers. And I'll give you another example, or horrible decision-making, I should say. A Seattle teacher has been caught when they would post, you know, do their video remote learning. A lot of teachers would just play music in between classes. Well, a Seattle middle school teacher was caught playing some vulgar, inappropriate music to his students. It was at Jane Addams Middle School. And here's the difference with some people. When I was coaching, the girls would make a playlist for the pregame warm-ups, about 20 minutes. And all I said to them was, if it's a song that has, and there are too many songs that have the N word, there are too many songs that have, you know, swear words. And I said, none of that. That is not going to be tolerated. And before one game, now this is quite a while ago now, I heard an N word in a song during our pregame warmups. And I took away, because the kids love to have music kind of thumping as they're getting ready for a game. I took away that privilege for, I don't remember how many games, but it was for a few games. I said, look, if you can't abide by a very simple rule and something that is absolutely not tolerated in our program in any way, then you lose that privilege. Well, then you have teachers who play that music themselves for the kids. The song was called Rat by an artist named Penelope Scott. And Jason Rance has this up on My Northwest and wrote the story. But here's, man, we had to bleep the heck out of this thing. But here's the song that a Jane Addams middle school teacher was reportedly playing for students as they were either working or transitioning between classes during remote learning time.
I come from scientists and atheists and white men who kill God. They make technology high quality, complex, physiological experiments and sacrilege in the name of public good. They taught me everything just like a daddy should. You were beautiful and vulnerable and power and success. Am I fell for you, your flamethrowers, your tunnels and your tech. I studied code because I wanted to do something great like you. And the real tragedy is half of it was true. But we've been mean, we're elitist, we're as flawed as any church. And this West Coast dogma has a higher net worth. I bit the apple because I trusted you. It tastes like Thomas Malthus. Your proposal is immodest and insane.
Every bleep is the apple. I hope someday Selmer's in the playing of this song. And teachers who do that, you just have to question why they are in the profession. Because a lot of people, whether they be teachers or coaches, their primary motivation is they've felt a calling to uplift kids and to help teach life lessons that are going to uplift and sustain them and that they can carry through for the rest of their life. And then we have some teachers who just seem to want to do degrading stuff to add to the degradation of children. I mean, heaven knows, pop culture and just, I mean, if you walk around any middle school or high school in the hallways during any break, the language you hear is, it's just awful. And I will tell you that there may be some workplaces where you can get away with that, but there aren't many. And so when a teacher plays music like that for a kid, like that's cool and hip, all they're doing is making that kid's life tougher. And when a teacher does that, they shouldn't be teaching. It's absolutely ridiculous. Okay, we got a lot more to do as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. We're going to have our Fastest 15 come up right after we check the news for you here. And I'm going to check and see. I've been trying to get Nicole to book a guest for us, and we'll get a guest booking update as well. It's all part of the Fast 15, and it's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.